Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and unfortunately this episode does not feature Keanu Reeves or a dog. We are very sorry. And with me I have...
I'm pleased to say we will not have any loud obnoxious shill applause in this show either. Because we're better than that. Because we don't lie to people. Todd.
And...
I'm sorry to say we don't have any world premieres because we're broke as fuck.
Yes, there are sadly no world premieres. You won't be hearing that drilled into the ground. Or the haunting specter of Phil Spencer saying gamers are everywhere. Look out! They're coming out of your cupboards! Run!
And unfortunately, there is no Matt Booty.
Aw.
Nah, man. Truly all the good things are happening over at E3. And by good, I mean it's kind of been treading water like 95% of the time.
Yeah, once again, we have to rely on Nintendo to save the day. Which, by now, they probably already have.
Come on, Travis, touchdown and smash. Make it happen. Oh, and of course, Devolver Digital, but you already knew that was going to kick ass.
Yeah.
The saga of Nina motherfucking Struthers gets stranger and stranger. But here we are, episode 133. So how's everything been going with you guys lately?
Well, my last week has been full of basketball stress because, I'm not going to go into that. And depending on how game number 5 goes, well, I'm pretty sure y'all are going to get ready to roast me anyway. So I'm just going to stay away and just gorge myself on all the E3 stuff, of which so far, up until Monday anyway, it's been kind of crap. Like, more crap than usual. Maybe Sony had the right idea when they said they weren't going to take part this year because, next year's going to be pretty vital with the new consoles coming out. But, so far, I've just been enjoying some of that. And, busy week of work, which I'm so glad I'm going to have at least 2 days off this week because I need it. I got to rest and sleep and catch up on, things and stuff. Maybe buy some games because I want to get back into that kind of stuff. I want time for me again. And, once basketball season ends, I'll have more time for me.
I also got to catch up on stuff and things. Man, it's going to be a wild week. I mean, shit, I got more stuff I got to record after this. By the way, be sure to check me out on the Training Stage podcast during some of their E3 roundups and discussion things. Plug. Yes, I am shameless. I don't even know where I'm going at this point. Mark, what about you?
Let's see. I told you off the recording, but as you know, I got family staying here, and like I said before, right now they're not here, so I'm all good to say what I want. Other than that, work week's been less stressful than last week. I finally have some rest and relaxation. I finally finished my story, Trap Game, which his last episode will air right on schedule. And, anyways, I didn't want Punch Man to it.
Yay!
Woo! And being on schedule, which is important.
Yeah. And that's all I got. At least something that's important to me, or at least when I remember to mention. So, there you go.
Cool. Anyway, as for me, not really too much going on, just a lot of the same old, same old. Did not even get to go back out to the movies this weekend because I was busy with the handful of things. And so with all that out of the way, I suppose, time to jump into the usual, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. Of course, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with these songs and, maybe find some new favorites for you. And so to get things started, why don't we actually throw it over to our boy Mark, who brought us this first old track here.
Speaking of deaths, how was the jellies last night? Man, that was a weird ass episode. Especially when I keep telling you, Loyal Squad is somehow connected to this. And on the first episode, you notice somebody else made a cameo, and oh, it's Gold Link. Yeah, he was in last week's episode. So yeah, Gold Link, who maybe you remember. I mean, you remember that one song he had, Crew, which is a banger. He has a new album coming out this week. It's called Diasporia, and his new track, which you say, and oh, it happens to feature one. Since I mentioned the jellies, it features Tyler the Creator.
Yes, it does.
And I think it is about this song. It just has this weird, you know, this very weird dancey, like dancey vibe from it. It feels like something I hear Kijinata do. I don't know who produced it. It might be him. I don't know. I ain't looked it up. But I will say it's a decent track where you know, got a little bit of groove to it. Like, I mean, Dial's part was pretty all right. Like, Goldling's part, I didn't really get into that much. Like, I know he's an all right rapper. I just really don't get into him as much. I mean, I know aside from the one song he had that I listened to a lot, he's sort of like the rapper that I just say, okay. He's all right. The song is pretty. Yeah, it's all right. That's what I'm saying.
I don't have much else to add either. It is indeed all right. Anyway, let's move on to our next track here. Coming from a deathcore band that I have not listened to in a long-ass time. Yes, that would be the lads in Carnifex, who are dropping their newest studio album, World War X, out August 2nd. And so we have the lead-off single here, No Light Shall Save Us, which features guest vocals from Arch Enemy frontwoman Alyssa White Glues.
Hey.
So, yeah, I mean, I have listened to Carnifex before, so I know a bit about what to expect here. And it is pretty much squarely in that territory. You can feel that alternating mix of, like, the slow grooving guitar chugs and that very deathcore riffy style, interspersed with tons of tremolos and whatnot. Drums, you know, rapid double kicks, blast beats, the big sounding grooves, you know, that guitar solo that also has, like, that slow groove in there. There are parts of it that are kind of a bit more interesting, though, and that's mostly towards the back half, or really any parts of the songs that embody more of a melodic death influence kind of vibe. And I think that's mainly Alyssa's vocal contributions to the thing, but those more occultic gothic parts are what interest me more than, you know, kind of the usual deathcore stuff. It's not bad or anything, but clearly there's one half of this song that's playing on a higher level, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, on the surface, this should work for me. Good lineup of artists, great feature. But, I mean, it's alright. It's just not getting me super amped up for any reason. It's a solid track, but it's just solid.
Yeah, that how it would be with Carnifex sometimes. So, anyway, moving on from that. Oh, hey, look at that! Even more Cool Keith! Yeah, we're like about a month away from that new album, I think.
Oh yeah, pretty much it is kind of like a month or so. So anyway, it's called Keith. Yeah, it comes out in July 12th. He has another track out called Turn the Levels. And well, I got to say, like last time, like it's really got that sort of like boom bass of that sort of boom bass kind of style, which it kind of caught us. That sounds like something you hear from the '90s. Like it does have this very, you know, this very like very high, this very high chorus. Which okay, it, really, I want to say like I'm trying to figure the word. You know, I just lost track, but anyway, the song is. Basically, I got much to say from like the last song he did, which I'm definitely feeling. It's definitely got that boom bop style to it with this like hot, we'll say other, well, not uplifting, but more like, you know, very rich on chorus, which, you know, got this, but yeah, it's, but yeah, the song is solid.
Yeah, sounds decent enough, you know, like Cool Keith and everything. But anyway, let's move on to this next song here, something that Mr. Alex alerted me to from a project called Dragged Under. I have no idea what this is. Help me out here.
Okay, so you remember the band with Fluff and Jared Dines, Rest Repose?
Yes, I do remember Rest.
Yeah, that
Repose
didn't really pan out the way they hoped. There were some lineup changes, including a change that happened mid-tour. I won't get into specifics. And, well, there were some differences between Jared and the rest of the band. And with Fluff, they wanted to go, you know, be a band full-time, and Jared decided, I'm not really too up for that because I got my YouTube thing. I'm sort of happy doing that. So there was an amicable parting. You know, him and Fluff are still cool, which is great. And Fluff has sort of reformed the band with a few new members and as a new name, Dragged Under. And with this first track, Here for War, well, I will say this. It sounds much, much more full of energy, and it's got me more into this than anything from their prior namesake. This is a pretty good track. It's solid. It's got some serious Every Time I Die vibes within the verses, combined with some really catchy rock chorus hooks to it. It's just a one single. We don't have much of it in details for like a full album coming down the line. This is just sort of a teaser for things to come, but consider me curious as to what they'll bring later on.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fine. Like I said, I do like the Every Time I Die-ish parts, but then the radio hard rock stuff kicks in, and it's like, oh, why'd you have to go and do that? I don't like that. It does not spark joy, as the children say.
Well, but that's how you get airplay on Sirius XM. You gotta have those hooks. How else are they gonna get play on Octane?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Every Time I Die gets those Sirius XM plays, and they don't have to compromise.
Well, they're not a new band.
Clearly. Anyway, time to move on to the next song over here, and, well, I suppose it's finally time. Guess I finally have to listen to some K-pop. BTS, in fact. So that's a first. Oh, hey, look at that. They brought Charlie XCX with them, too. That's a thing, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, you want to know what's even crazier? This is a song that's promoting a BTS mobile game launching this month where players will rise the ranks to become the group's virtual manager. I'm not even kidding. This is a real thing.
Okay.
This is like if you took a shovelware PS1 game in 2000, you know, the ones like the Mary Kay and Ashley games, or
I'm
pretty sure Britney Spears had a shovelware game of her own and brought it to the modern day on a mobile device. Why isn't this at E3?
I don't know, man. Can they get it running on Google Stadia? Because that thing is going to take off like hotcakes.
Oh, lordy loo. But, yeah, this is BTS's world, and we're all just living in it.
Yeah, so the song is called Dream Glow. And for what it's worth, the song mainly features three members of the group. It's not the whole kit and caboodle. And, you know, all I can really say is it kind of sounds like, again, I have basically zero context for BTS or K-pop in general. So this just kind of sounds like, you know, kind of a poppy trap thing for me. I do like Charlie XCX on the song. She does a lot better than I was expecting her to do. But, and, you know, the other guys sound fine, but again, I'm at a loss here, so come back next time when I eventually culture myself on the nuances of this genre.
Yeah, poppy trap beats is sort of their bread and butter, especially on their last album and their most recent EP. That's sort of what they do, and clearly it works because they're selling out stadiums everywhere, including here in the U.S. But yeah, the track, it's pretty good. Very hooky all over, and Charlie XCX's parts are pretty solid.
Yeah, like you, I don't know much shit about K-pop. even though weeks ago I viewed something involving K-pop. Yeah, this track is pretty. It's pretty. I like what I heard. I like Charlie XCX on this. It's pretty. It's alright. It's good.
Yeah, but you know, this kind of a globe dominating, you know, pop crossover thing just isn't really my area of expertise. We got to move on to something that I'm actually deeply comfortable with. So how about completely inaccessible, borderline overly bloated, rambling, nonsensical rock, noise, metal, just going on forever? That's where it's at for me, man.
So
I feel right at home.
So it's music set to your inner thoughts.
Yes.
Clearly.
It's pretty much what Daughters is as well. Although I think this is more impenetrable than Daughters, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, so you might remember that last year we had a new full-length project from the band Sumac, which came about 7 months or so after their collaborative project with Japanese noise artist Keiji Haino. Well, it looks like the sessions they did with Haino yielded yet more fruits, because the two are back at it again, and on June 28th, they're releasing their second collaboration album, titled Even for Just the Briefest Moment, Keep Charging This Expiation, Plug In to Making It Slightly Better. Yeah, so that's a mouthful. So what about the first song that we're getting from this album? It's a 15-minute burner called Now I've Gone and Done It, I Spilled Holy Water, parentheses, just water, over that thing called healing music. There was a faint tisk noise. Or, you know, Now I've Gone and Done It for short. Yeah, so...
Okay, damn.
So, yeah, as you can probably expect from the Sumac and Haino sound, this one is pretty, like, kind of rambling in freeform. Well, okay, maybe rambling, not in a vocal sense, because there's barely any vocals to be found here. But, you know, you definitely feel the slow pounding of the drums just kind of aimlessly feeling its way around the kit. The rumbling bass that's constantly getting, like, syncopated and cut off before it can rumble out. The droning, listless bits of, like, guitar feedback mixed in with occasional actual playing, you know, deteriorating buzzy slides working in and out as like, the bass distortion grows and it actually gets to prolong a bit. Definitely a bit more of the guitar is getting active as the song goes on and on and on with, like, the buzzy feedback, the stutters, the scraping and pick slides. Of course, the drums, you know, still grooving along with that very aimless vibe, and I'm like, ah, this feels right at home for me. I live for this kind of impenetrable abstractness.
Okay, so listening to this track, I didn't know what to think of it until, like, the very end where it hit me. This is what the end by The Doors would sound like if it were a post-metal jam track. You put this in Apocalypse Now and it fits. And look, I'm all for weird and experimental music, but a 15-minute feedback jam session might just be a little too out of my comfort zone for me. So, yeah, I would put this in the not my thing category with most of the stuff I've seen at E3 so far.
And much like, unlike E3, this song did not feature Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Tell you, that guy can make anything better. Anyway, moving on to the next song here. Oh, hey, here's a pleasant surprise. There's a name I wasn't expecting to see come out with some stuff this year. Looks like electronic producer Blank Mass, who you might remember as Benjamin John Powers, one half of Fuck Buttons, is releasing a new studio album coming out August 16th called Animated Violence Mild. And yes, I'm aware in the original draft of my notes here, I jotted down some of this information wrong. I corrected it now. My apologies to my co-host for that. But yeah, so we have the lead-off single here called House Versus House. What is that, like some weird house fan fiction? Or is it like House Versus Roadhouse? Or I'm not going to question it. But yeah, this one, you know, a 7.5-minute lengthy kind of, And it's pretty much a jam. Like, you can feel right away from those fat thumping toms and kicks kind of jamming along and, you know, establishing a strong groove. The choppy vocal stuttering, you know, providing, like, some, you know, nice texture to the track. There's this subtle kind of uplifting synth melody playing underneath those bouncy grooves that explodes into this really, like, more lush, saturated set of melodies after about 2 minutes. It's very pleasing, and there's plenty of, you know, digital warbling and kind of, like, almost harp-like synths peeking in and out of the song. The vocals get slightly less choppy in that there's something of an actual melody there eventually, you know, as it bounces back and forth between, like, the synth, you know, like the sort of hi-hat heaviness and the toms and kicks and everything. And I gotta be honest, I fucking love this song, man. This has been something I've been looping, like, on and off for, like, since it came out. Like, I know it's more, like, I know World Eater had a lot more, like, harsh grating industrial vibes, but as just a pure, like, sugary, sweet, like, loopable, banger-ass electronic jam, this is so doing it for me, man. This is so good.
Okay, I'll say this. System to E3 most of the time. I could be, this remind me of something I would hear on a fighting game, like something like Street Fighter. Like this one might hear some. This is something I would hear on a 2D scrolling fighting game. Like this definitely knocks. And what I ain't heard Blake Mass in a while. This is spark back some interest in listening to them when the album comes out. In 2 months from now, like, at least 2 months from Wednesday.
Just about. Let's just estimate it that way.
Yeah.
But since we're on the subject of musicians who are veterans of the Adult Swim Singles program, let's actually close things out here. For this half, at least, with the last week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles program. Probably the shortest song we're talking about here. It's literally less than a minute 30 seconds. But oh boy, is there a tale here. So buckle up, kids. This is gonna get wild. So you might remember that my pick for the top album of 2018 was The Armed with Only Love, the ever-so-it enigmatic Chicago-based hardcore experimental punk collective. They of course established some strong ties with Adult Swim, being one of DeMarco's favorite albums of that year, and, you know, having that music video on Toonami and everything. Well, it looks like they've been invited to contribute a song to Adult Swim, and the track they contribute has a very peculiar title. The song is called Featuring Frank Turner. And when they say that, okay, so they released the song, and they openly admit that it features, quote, a ton of uncleared samples. And in particular, they utilized a sample from an unfinished demo that Mr. Frank Turner had recorded with producer Kurt Ballou about, like, 8 years ago. We know this because this is coming straight from the mouth of Frank Turner himself, who seemed rather miffed that this happened. He didn't seem like a very happy guy. Although, I don't know why he would be mad. This song fucking bangs, so, like, who cares that they stole some shit you never planned on using anyway? And yeah, this is every bit a slapper as anything off of Only Love. It opens up with these energetic guitar chords and lots of electronically distorted vocal samplings, which I assume is the Frank Turner sample. Then the full band kicks in, the pummeling drums, the abrasive vocal screeching. This almost kind of like skater punk hardcore sort of thing underlying the whole thing, along with the fucking wild out, wild out ass fucking guitar solos, the squealing, the dense drum fills. It's brief, to the point, gnarly as hell, and just as the cherry on the cake as far as the excellent trolling, the single artwork doesn't even feature a picture of the right Frank. No, the cover features a picture of Frank Carter from Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes. Clearly, layers to this trolling.
Yeah, I actually kind of like this fake album art with the Japanese text serving as the fake Obi strip, the Adult Swim logo on there. It's pretty cool, and this track is It's pretty rocking and upbeat, and it's complete with a video that I can only describe as a more demented and insane CKY skateboard vignette. It's good stuff. I like it.
Yeah, so lighten up, Frank. Although, I suppose, to be fair, at least he's handling it better than certain other people I can think of throwing musical temper tantrums this week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait till Wednesday. Wait till Wednesday.
Yeah. And remember the words of Smash Mouth? You're not a real king if you don't surface your queen with your mouth.
Clearly. But yeah, that just about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got some news topics here. So stay tuned for that. And we're back. So we got a handful of news topics here. These first two are a little bit quick ones. We need something to pad out the time here. So yes, we're some of us here might be the type of people you would describe as dank ass meme lords. Unfortunately, no one's ever described me that way except for myself. So everyone thinks I'm a fucking meme goldmine here, people. Come on. But of course, my meme capabilities are nothing compared to our Lord and Saviors, Smash Mouth and Shrek. So, it is my great honor to announce to you all, well, not exclusively here, you know, it was posted online, but whatever. So, finally, after freaking like 18 years, we are finally getting the Shrek soundtrack on vinyl. It is coming out... It's coming out August 2nd, and of course it features all the beloved classics from people like Eels, Rufus Wainwright, a lot of the compositions from the film, the score composed by Harry Gregson-Williams and John Powell, and of course, Smash Mouth's All-Star, and their cover of I'm a Believer. Truly, a more iconic moment has never been seen in the art form of cinema. But yeah, for, you know, all you spicy-ass dink, you know, danksters out there, better start saving your money, man, because we know your mama ain't buying this for you.
Well, I'd be considered a hipster if I said I first watched and enjoyed the movie when it came out and I didn't think of it as, you know, dank memes, because it used to be on HBO all the time back in I think it was early 2002, late 2001, around that time. I saw it on the TV a couple times because of reasons regarding my living status, but yeah, I suppose the memes have only gotten better over time. I mean, heck, we live in a world where you can watch the entire movie on a Game Boy cartridge, or Game Boy Advance, if I'm going to be more specific.
Truly the ideal way to experience cinema. What the fuck is IMAX? What is Dolby Cinema? Screw that shit, Game Boy Advance.
320 by 240, 12 frames a second.
Classic. But anyway, let's move on to something that's a bit more relevant to the weekly proceedings. So, on the day that we're recording this, and at the exact time we're recording this, we got about 45 minutes, I believe, until the Square Enix E3 press conference. Though I'm not sure what surprises they might have, considering the big stuff that I am inclined to care about, i.e. the Final Fantasy VII remake news and anything related to the Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC, has pretty much already been announced in separate places. By the way, guys, oh my god, holy shit, they're bringing back Nobuo Uematsu to do the score. Can you fucking imagine in 2020 a freaking fully orchestrated rendition of One Winged Angel by the god himself? Someone pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Okay. Slow down, we got until March.
I know. But in the run-up to all this, a surprising new development has come about in the world of Final Fantasy. You know how a lot of game companies recently have been putting up a lot of their franchise soundtracks on Spotify? You know, Konami recently did it with Castlevania. Capcom unloaded a massive fucking vault onto the service recently. Well, Square Enix has finally jumped onto that bandwagon as they've released the soundtrack albums for every single one of the mainline Final Fantasy titles onto Apple Music and Spotify worldwide, all the way from the original to even 2016's Final Fantasy XV. Hell, they even have individual soundtrack albums for each portion, each expansion of Final Fantasy XIV, if that's your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you kids, you got your homework to do, so if you ever want to, in your free time, experience the lush library of Nobuo Uematsu and various other composers, experiencing some of the most seminal compositional work that the gaming medium has ever had to offer, there you go.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's also on Apple Music as well, which, related, the King Crimson soundtrack of discography are now making it onto Spotify and Apple Music. But yeah, Final Fantasy soundtracks, that's cool. Also, depending on where you look, you might be able to find some Metal Gear Solid soundtracks on there.
Hmm, very nice.
Yeah. Might have to bug Fantano and take part in his Let's Argue series and talk about the merits of video game soundtracks and how they should be, well, more celebrated and, you know, credited and possibly given awards.
Yes. Yes, they should. Anyway, moving on to our next topic here. So, one of the bigger releases that came out recently in the hip-hop field was a soundtrack album for the four-part documentary series Wu-Tang Clan of Mics and Men, airing on Showtime. You know, for those of you that bother to have Showtime. But as we all know, this isn't the only Wu-Tang-related project that's been in the works. We, of course, all know that Hulu is in the middle of producing a 10-part dramatic Wu-Tang Clan series, you know, along with the RZA, called Wu-Tang and American Saga. I'm still not entirely sure when this is happening, I think. Shit, I don't know. Yeah, this article, I don't think, put a date on it or anything. But yeah, that's still coming. And of course, some casting news has floated down the pipeline. Namely, that rapper Joey Badass has been cast to play Inspector Deck in the series.
Hmm.
Hmm. Now you're thinking, Joey Badass? Hmm. Has he acted before? Yes, he actually has. He played Leon on, that, what's that show? Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot and
does some episodes of,
another episode of BET's Boomerang. Okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot that show. That's a series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can see, I can see it's because, like, Joey Badass, like, he always been somebody that loves, you know, 90s New York hip-hop. You can, like you hear some of his music, you hear some of his music, like you know, he keeps down with his shit. Like, he, like you know, like, him, they had, like, recently, him along with Poor Era and level some of these album, well, his crew called Beast Coast, they released Uncle Escape from New York, which I heard was Wu-Tang inspired, which, no, I haven't listened to the album yet. I mean, I ain't gonna cover, but I probably listen to, like, when, you know, when I'm busy with shit. But yeah, like, I might see this happen, although I heard he looks nothing like Inspector Deck. Although, then again, the guy played Eazy-E and Strata Cummins looks nothing like him either. And I do nailed that part. Oh, we also had another piece of casting news that another rapper, Harlem rapper Dave East, he'll play Method Man. Although Dave East ain't got that much acting experience, like he could be some Netflix movie called Beats coming out later this month, but I don't know, I know that's really bad. He hasn't experienced like anything about him. Maybe it's Dave East made me really worry about, but okay, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of interesting. Maybe, you know, hearing about this, this Wu-Tang series and wonder how that plays. Since I will say he's a music rapper, but it's more like a music rapper for, but well, TV series. Let's see how that shit plays out.
Yeah, so we just gotta wait on that to hit Hulu eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks like it'll be a pretty cool show, and all right, three solid news stories. I think that's a good place to.
Alex,
yeah, wait.
Alex,
wait,
oh no!
You know it's coming. You can't avoid it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right, people.
Really?
Breaking literally just 2 hours before we decided to sit down and record this, we have more Woodstock 50 news.
Oh, God. Okay.
And this is... No. Here's the thing. There was one that broke earlier today, and then a second on top of that.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... I'm not going to do a bit where I pretend to open it up and take a look for the first time. I'm just going to go into it. Watkins Glen Speedway has decided to kick Michael Lang and this whole Woodstock 50 bullshit to the curb and say, no, goodbye. We're not going to do business with you.
Bye, Felicia.
Yes. Woodstock 50 now homeless. Quote, Watkins Glen International terminated the site license for Woodstock pursuant to provisions of the contract. As such, WGI will not be hosting the Woodstock 50 Festival. I wonder why. And according to this report by Rolling Stone, and this, you could take it in so many ways, but I would like to think people were thinking of 1999. So yes, a representative of New York State Police told Rolling Stone that the festival had yet to address a number of concerns one of its troopers had about the planning of the festival. Possibly crowd control. That ring any bells? Perhaps a Fred Durstian bell? Or, you know, a very hot, fiery bell?
Man, some people just really don't learn.
No. And it gets even better because they done lost one of their producers as well. CID Entertainment is backing out.
Less than an hour after it was announced that Watkins Glen Speedway would not play host to this fuckery.
In a statement to Billboard, quote, CID Entertainment had been engaged to provide enhanced camping, travel packages, and transportation for Woodstock 50. Given developments, we can confirm that CID is no longer involved in Woodstock 50 in any capacity. But fear not! Because for some stupid reason, Michael Lang is insisting that this show will go on. Here's their spin on the matter. And in their statement, they said the following. We confirm that we will not be moving forward with Watkins Glen as a venue for Woodstock 50, which is kind of like saying, you can't fire me, I quit. Or, you can't kick me out, I'm leaving.
What?
And this was quoted from Gregory Peck, one of the organizers of this festival. Continuing, we are in discussions with another venue to host Woodstock 50 on August 16th to the 18th and look forward to sharing the new location when tickets go on sale in the coming weeks. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You know,
I don't want to cast myself in anything, so I'll say it could happen, but look, we're 2 months away. These people don't have permits. They don't have a production company sorting everything out for them. They don't have a venue. It's going to take a Herculean task to pull this off. And considering the people in charge of this whole bullshit, I don't think it's going to happen. This is the sign. This is the sign. Stop while you're 10 miles behind. It's not going to work. Look at everything that's happened. This is divine fucking intervention. Pull the plug, Michael Lang.
You know, it just occurred to me, and maybe it's because I saw this on TV recently, but you know that episode of American Dad? The one where the house gets caught in a fucking hurricane-level storm, and everybody in the Smith family is trying to survive, but literally every time Stan says or does anything, their situation gets exponentially worse and more fucked. This is the real life version of that. At least as far as we know, no one's died yet. But yeah, that could very well happen at this rate. Oh, dear Lord, man. This is fucking spectacular.
Here I thought we would go 1 week without this shit.
Y'all thought so, too. So they're gonna be, what are they gonna do it at a Walmart? They're gonna see like, hey, we're supposed to stop 50. Clean up on aisle 7. Aisle 7, get the marshmallows.
Oh, God.
Honestly, at this rate, that would be an improvement.
Watch it be under a bridge in Pennsylvania or somewhere. At this point, that might be all they can afford. God. Geez. 2 months. 60 days or so.
We're waiting with bated breath. But, yeah, that basically about does it. So, now to cap things off with the new album releases for the week of June 14th, 2019. Starting right at the top, we have the much-anticipated new album from Baroness with Gold and Grey. We got a new project from Bruce Springsteen with Western Stars. Coming out on Wednesday, we had the aforementioned Gold Link album Diaspora. Following that, we have a new album from Bastille with Doom Days. We got a new project from Ex-Ambassadors called Riot. And, of course, there's a new project from Madonna called Madam X.
I'll get to you next month.
Okay, then. Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where I will probably be quiet for the next couple days because the Wrath of NBA Twitter is insane. So, if you don't see me for a while, just know I'm just hiding from, the slander and the memes. Oh God, the memes. Ugh.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter at MattHyperMedia and on my site, MindTheHyperOne at HyperOneDoublePress.com. Yeah, that's it. I would say, hey, I got this review coming up. It was like I ain't did shit yet. I mean, I'm trying to, but shit got in the way. But well, just wait and see. Because I'm trying to get something printed this week.
Cool. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at RobBarracuda. Email me, Robert@SewerResolution.com for any questions, comments, concerns, or inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on our official YouTube channel. So subscribe there and hit the bell tab. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SewerReso, like us on Facebook, visit the website at SewerResolution.com where you can find our written content, this podcast, Podcast ONA, and other things. Be sure to jump into our Discord so you can relentlessly mock the underwhelmingness of what E3 has delivered so far up to this point. And of course, shout out to the producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see you again later for the next album roundup and, the usual weekly business here. So thank you for listening, and until next time, dear Lord, I am going to go fucking broke as fuck this November. Thanks, gaming industry!
Aren't we all?